Hello there. Welcome to this call. This recording is called From Interest to Sales. My name is Dion Atkinson. For those of you who may not know me, I am a business coach and a client finding skills consultant and trainer. I specialize in working with memory-saving professionals such as personal historians, genealogists, oral historians, video biographies, and there's actually many other ways that professionals can help families and individuals save their memories, their family stories, and help them research data on their family. So this talk today is called From Interest to Sales, and we're going to be talking about the process of when the sales process starts and how you can optimize that moment when someone becomes interested in your services. So the first thing I want to say to you is most people think of the sales process as the actual conversation where two people are sitting down together. One of them has a product to sell. The other one is an interested potential client. And within the conversation that they have, a decision is made about whether the products and services that are offered are a match for the person who is interested in them. In other words, there's a go or no-go decision about whether to purchase something. The truth is that sales actually starts a long time before you get to that conversation, and we're going to talk about how that happens today. So on both sides, there are things that are happening before that moment when the sales decision happens. On the potential client side, there has to be an interest before someone will purchase. There is no way that you can convince somebody that they need your services or create inside another person the feelings or the emotions or the impact that they need to have in order to say, yes, this is a good idea for me. I do want to purchase this. On the other side, there are things that the salesperson needs to get together in order to be ready for that sales conversation. So, for example, they need to have identified their ideal target clients. They need to have crafted business communication that's marketing savvy. They need to be able to paint a portrait of the people who work with them such that somebody listening will recognize and say, oh, that's me. That's a problem that I have. She could help me with this or he could help me with this because that's the kind of things that they do. There are also other things. It's not impossible to do sales without peripheral information. But it definitely helps if you have your website, if it's speaking directly to the people who like to purchase your services. It's a good idea if you have a business card. There's a lot of things. It's a good idea if you have a whole marketing system up. So all of those things start to come together before you ever come across somebody who hears about your services for the first time and suddenly becomes interested. Now, the way that you can recognize interest, actually, we all know this, but you may not have thought about this. And it may be that when you're doing sales, perhaps you're so nervous about whether somebody's going to be interested or whether you're going to get a client, that you're actually paying more attention to yourself and what you're feeling and trying to stay calm and trying to remember what you said you were going to say in your 30-second commercial, as opposed to being so confident and comfortable inside yourself that when you talk about your business, you can recognize when somebody in the room or maybe the person right in front of you starts showing signs of interest. You can see it in their eyes. Sometimes if you're really careful, you can see that when someone is interested, the pupils of their eyes dilate slightly. Certainly, people will turn towards you. You might see a slight, it's not really a frown, but, like there's an intensity that comes into their eyes. They may be looking right at you, and you can see that, where a few seconds before, they were looking at you, but they weren't really looking at you. Their eyes were pointed in your direction, and now all of a sudden they're really looking at you. So that's one inkling. The next one is also in their body language. You can tell when someone's interested by how they turn towards you. They may lean towards you a little bit. Their body may have an upward motion to it. They're energetically moving towards you. You'll notice a sudden jump in their attention. You will notice that in a movement towards you. There might actually be suddenly an inquisitive or friendly look that you notice. And you certainly will notice it in their verbal response. So often what happens when you talk about your business, especially if you have described your ideal target clients and the reasons why they hire you, somebody might say, "Oh, that's so interesting," or, "I never heard about that profession before," or, "What an interesting way to make a living." An even better response is, "Oh my gosh, we need you in our family." So that kind of response happens a lot when you've really tapped into someone who might be a potential client. Now, at that moment, you actually don't know whether what they're interested in is the fact that you're a memory-saving professional, they've never heard about such a thing, and if they find that interesting, or whether something inside them starts registering, "Oh, this is something I've been thinking about for a long time. I am aware that my grandmother is getting older and we haven't saved her stories yet. I have tried to be a memory keeper for my family, and I always get too busy. I've got kids that I have to drive to soccer. I have a 40-hour-a-week job that's actually a 60-hour-a-week job. My grandmother is now in a nursing home, and I never got over to see her as much as I need to." There may be all kinds of things that just have started going on inside the person. And what you need to do is find out, are they just interested in the fact that you're a memory-saving professional, or is there something in their own situation that is suddenly going, "Oh, I could use some help. I wonder how much it costs. I wonder what she does, really." So what you need to do is find a way to find out which of these two responses just happened in front of you. So what do? Do you move towards the person? Do you move away from them? Do you freeze like a deer in the headlights? So all of these responses can happen with people who are not comfortable with sales and who maybe don't have their sales hat ready all the time, so that whenever there's a spark of interest, they can move forward and see if this is a potential client. So what I would call the correct response is that you express interest back. So what you want to do at this point is engage the person in conversation about their interest. So this is not a time when you need to trot out more information about your product or service. It's a time for you to become a really good listener and to ask good questions, open-ended questions, will get them to tell you what they're actually thinking about. So in the actual sales dialogue, the first thing that you want to do is get them to talk about themselves. You want to find out about what I call the state of the state of personal history or memory saving in their family, meaning have they started, do they have projects done, what's happening about saving family memories and finding out more about people's genealogy, etc. You need to ask questions about what is important to them that they don't lose. How close are they to losing it? What have they done in the past? Were they able to save some or all of their memories for certain people? Is what they're doing to save their family history or research their genealogy or record their oral history, is that working? And if it's not, what stopped them from finishing? Because there's all kinds of reasons. I was too busy. I'm not comfortable with the technology. I can certainly turn a recording device on, but then what do I do with it? So there's a lot of things that you can ask at this point. The important thing is what you need to do is arouse your own simple interest in the other person, what they're saying, and your curiosity. So this means right at this point, you don't jump on the person or let yourself get nervous about this maybe a potential client. It means that you're really careful about your tone of voice. You're inquisitive and conversational. You're expressing, you're actually offering the person your attention, and you're inviting them to tell you more. So your body language is relaxed, friendly, interested. Your questions follow the conversation, and you're not pushing for any particular result. You don't make any offers until you hear that there's an emotional involvement in this. So, for example, if someone says, "Oh my gosh, does my family ever need your services?" You would follow that up with something that's equally friendly, like, "You know what? I hear that all the time, but everybody has a different reason. Why do you think that your family needs help?" Well, and then they're going to start telling you the story. And this is the point where I can't tell you what to say next, because what you need to do is come into conversation and follow what the person is saying and respond to them. So they might say, "Oh, because, you know, I've wanted to do this for a long time," or, "Oh, because every single photograph we have is in some kind of an album or a shoebox in someplace else in the house." And then you might inquire, "What kind of pictures do you have? How far back do you have photographs? What keeps you from putting them in order? What's the hardest part?" So you're just engaging people in conversation so that sooner or later you're going to be able to say, "You know, I do hear this all the time, and I also hear from clients that they fully intended to save their grandmother's history, and then she died more suddenly than was expected, and all those stories were lost. You know, what's going to happen?" And then, you know, follow where they were. "What's going to happen if you don't organize these photographs? What's going to happen to them? The pictures that you have of your grandparents and great-grandparents, do your kids or grandkids know who those people are? If you were gone, would people be able to identify?" So, and when somebody shares with you, no, it's not in order. Yes, it is a risk. I am the only one who knows this. What you need to do is not jump in with both feet and say, "Oh my gosh, I really recommend that you start doing this." You know, what you need to do is normalize what they're saying, because how many of us have felt the same thing? And by normalizing, what you're doing is you're telling people they're not alone. "You know, you'd be surprised how often I hear that." Or, "Yes, a lot of people tell me they wish they'd captured someone's stories, maybe their mom's, for example, while she was alive. Sometimes that's a good reason to capture the stories. You can through other people's memories, or to be sure that if you missed your mom's, you don't forget getting your dad's." So it is a really good reason to start saving your stories while they're available. So when somebody tells you about the risk factor, you need to normalize that and let them know they're not alone, that a lot of other people experience the same thing. So when someone gets really interested, one of the first things they often do is ask one question that almost all of my clients dread hearing, which is, "Well, how much does it cost?" So that can be a very tricky question and not an easy one to answer. The bottom line is, or the truth is, you really can't stand there unless you have a single product at a single price point. You really can't tell people how much their personal history project is going to cost. If you're a personal historian, it may depend on the number of hours of interview. If you're a genealogist, it may depend on how many hours they want you to do research and how easy it is to find the information that is wanted. So there's a lot of different factors into pricing a memory-saving project. So one of the things I like to suggest that my clients do is just look people right in the face and say, you know, I get that question all the time, and it is extremely difficult for me to answer. Let me tell you why. It's kind of like going up to a builder or a construction person and saying, I would like you to build me a house. How much would it cost? There are so many different factors. How many stories is the house? How many bedrooms? How many bathrooms? Is there a garage? All of these different things. How many square feet? Is it 1,000 square feet? Is it 30,000 square feet? Which would be a big house indeed. So you can follow that by saying, you know, if you're interested, here's what I would like to propose. Let's sit down. I'd love to show you some of my samples. I can answer your questions. And once I find out from you what sort of project you're interested in, whether it's a big project or a small project, whether you're wanting to do an entire family project or you're just wanting to capture one person's memories or just search one line of your family history, then I can start telling you, then I can give you a better estimate of what the cost would be. Now, you are going to have some people who will come back and say, yes, but I really just don't have any idea how much this would cost. Can you just give me a range? And I suggest to my clients that you say something like, yes, I can give you a range of the cost, but please understand that if I can ask you a few more questions, we could narrow it down. So my smallest project includes this, this, and this, and it's $500. My largest project, let's just say for a moment you're a personal historian, which is a big coffee table book, glossy photographs. It has research into not only your family history and records, but also information about the towns people grew up in, lots of sidebars and information, photographs, things that I found from archival sources. A book like that could range anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000. So there's a big gap between $500 and $50,000. And most people, I'll be honest with you, fall closer to the $500 range or the $1,000 range or the $5,000 range, whatever you want to say, than the $50,000. So what do you think? Would you like to talk about that? So, or you could say, could I show you? Would you be interested in sitting down and talking so I can find out more what would be a good project for you? And I could show you the samples, share testimonials. So just let people know that you're available. In fact, what I said just a moment ago may be too much. All you need to do is just say, if you're interested, I would be happy to talk to you about it. You know, we could just see what kind of project you and your family would be interested in, and we can look at what the things are that I offer, and we could just see if we're a match. So the bottom line is, this is not a place for you to be pressing someone, stepping forward into their space, pressing on them energetically. It's an invitation. It's a response to, oh my gosh, does my family ever need you? Well, I do this for other people. Would you like to talk? That is a reasonable response. So your goal is to get an appointment, and that's all. It's not your goal to make the sales right there. Now, for a lot of people, if they do not get the appointment, then they feel like they failed, they step away, and that's it. You know, either somebody's interested in talking to you or they're not. But my recommendation to you, or my suggestion, is that you see if there's anything else that you can offer this person. So, for example, if you can't get an appointment, perhaps you could offer, you might not know this, but I send out an email once a month that gives people tips on how to, if they talked about something specific, you could say about how to organize those photos in a way that doesn't take a lot of time and takes one step at a time. Or I send out tips on how to get organized for a personal history project. Or I send out an announcement list for upcoming talks and classes. Would you be interested? Do you happen to know of any groups that might like a talk about personal history? There is no way that I know of that you could find all the different opportunities, good opportunities, for you to do public speaking in your area. The best way I know is to just ask everybody you meet. I do this great talk about genealogy. I show people how they can find a little bit of information and how I do that, and I get them really excited about the idea of verifying their personal history stories. So do you happen to know of a place that might be interested in hearing a talk like that, where people, it's fun and people have a, you know, come away with a little better understanding of genealogy or personal history? So you can ask people for that, or you can also say, I have been wanting to meet this kind of person. So it could be I'm looking for people who do downsizing because I think that that's a great time to start saving a personal history. And I'm looking for people who do photographing of heirlooms and things for people's houses. Do you know any people like that? Because I would love to meet someone. So just remember, your conversations are also an opportunity if people are interested but not interested enough to talk to you to get on your database. You can offer them free information. You can find out if they know of any groups where you can do public speaking, and you can also ask about meeting certain people who would be good for your business. So just remember this. Every conversation has the potential to be of some value to you. It isn't all about securing a sale, and it isn't all about securing an appointment. So, hold on just a second. Remember that everyone around you can kind of be placed in a relationship to how close they are to you or not. So, for example, there's that whole community of people who've never heard about you, where some of them, some percentage are your potential clients, but they haven't heard of you. So it's like, do you have marketing aimed for those? For these people who have just expressed interest, you need to have ways to keep them close to you while they're thinking about it, and make sure that they remember you. And also, more than anything, you want to help people get excited and stay excited about the idea of doing some sort of memory-saving project for their family. It's like that first interest is just a little spark, and instead of jumping on it right away, you're trying to build that interest just like pine needle by pine needle, twig by twig, until people are ready to purchase. So that means what you're doing is you're offering a lot of positive reinforcement. So if the person standing in front of you has just said, oh my goodness, you know, my grandmother was in World War II, she ended up going over to the war theater, she was a nurse there, she has all kinds of stories, and here's one of her stories. When you're listening to things like that, you can positively reinforce that by saying, wow, that is a great story. It would be a shame if you didn't pass that one down. Or, wow, what an interesting family you have. Or, have you told that story to your grandkids? Are they interested in their ancestors' stories yet? Notice that I said yet. Are they interested yet? So then the other thing is to have things ready to offer people. So it's a great idea for you to have a small PDF that you can email people about ways to get organized before they hire you. You know, what are the things that they can do on their own now? Notice that I did not say that you hand out information on how for them to do it themselves. Just remember that there are lots and lots of resources on the internet for learning how to do things themselves. There's no reason for you to offer that to them and potentially sidetrack them. I know I've been doing this since, really working with small business owners since 1995, and with memory-saving professionals, particularly personal historians, since 2003. And I can't tell you how many times in that 15 or so years that I've heard people say, thank you so much for this talk. You gave us so much good information. I'm going to go home and start using it, and when I need help, I'll call you. The percentage of those people who call me is about zero. Once in a while, I'll have somebody who calls me and says, I went to one of your classes back in 2008, and I've been meaning to call you, and now's the time. But those are few and far between. So it's a good idea to give people information that they can help them, but don't necessarily give them information that replaces the services that you're offering. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes. So this is why you need to keep your contact with people fresh and regular. So, okay, hold on. You want to keep them close to you until they're ready to hire you. So I always tell people when I talk about my newsletter that has articles, business articles, and it has links to the recordings that I put on my website, et cetera, if you want to give it a try and you don't like it and you don't want to receive it, you can always click the safe unsubscribe and you won't get anything else from me. So that gives people permission to try something without feeling trapped. So the last thing that I would say is the thing that becomes really complicated for people who are doing sales is that at that moment of interest, if you have not been really good at kind of that twig-by-twig building of interest, building of people telling you why it's important to them and what would happen if they don't do this and how that information could be lost, it becomes like a fanning out of possibilities. So this is a place where people are afraid that they're going to lose control of the sales process as things fan out from that first spark of interest. So you need to get the foundation, the backup, the systems in place so that it's easy for you to respond in the moment. I like to think of the Williams sisters and their fabulous tennis careers. They have practiced. So whatever kind of ball comes across the net at them, they have seen that ball 100 times before, and they know how to respond. It's just innate in their body. So you need to be able to practice cultivating interest in people, practice inviting people to tell you things. Remember that most people in this culture do not invite people to talk about themselves and be willing to stand there and listen. So it's generally a treat for people when you actually show interest in what they have to say. So if you practice that in non-sales conversations, this is something that's really going to help you. When all of a sudden you go, oh, great, there's that spark of interest. What should I do now? Oh, yes, Dion told me this is what I need to do. And then you try it. You practice it. And you practice it many, many times. And you realize that not everybody who expresses interest is actually a potential client, and that you haven't just lost a sale. You've either found somebody who has sufficient interest or you haven't. So I hope this helps you recognize that moment of interest a little more quickly and think about how you want to respond to people, how you want to step back and start getting them to talk so that you can guide the conversation to what's important to them. So, as always, if you haven't had a free initial consultation with me and you would like some help talking about this and applying it to your business, please feel free to contact me. My phone number is 303-415-0243. And if this is somewhere way off in the future, like right now it's 2016, you may want to check that again by going to my website, which is www.memorysaving.com, and my email is Dion, D-H-Y-A-N, at Dion Atkinson, D-H-Y-A-N, dionatkinson.com, dion@dionatkinson.com. So I hope this helps you. I hope you start making more sales, and bye for now.